Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have cannabis expert and author Bruce Barcott talking about credit unions and cannabis and do they connect. Check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have cannabis expert and author Bruce Barcott talking about credit unions and the marijuana business. How's it going, Bruce?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on, Mike.
You're very, very welcome. Hey, just before we get into the interview, can you give folks a quick backgrounder on yourself and why you're on the show?
Sure, absolutely. I'm a little fairly new to this subject area. I'm a science writer and environmental reporter. Have been for about 20 years or so. I've done a lot of work for National Geographic, the New York Times Magazine, the Atlantic Monthly, and a lot of other national publications. I started writing on legalized marijuana almost 3 years to this day.
Oh, wow.
When I'm based out here in Seattle, and November of 2012 was when we passed, along with Colorado, the first statewide adult use legalization measure. And as a writer, that sort of intrigued me. I was actually very much on the fence with that vote. I had a lot of issues with legalization. But once we passed it, as a writer, I saw that this was an opportunity to really chronicle history as it was being made. Mm-hmm. So I dove in and followed the process and watched it roll out in my state and in Colorado. At the end of it came out with the book Weed the People.
Wow, very cool. And we'll talk about your book at the end of the interview. And
sure.
I just want to kind of get like a status. I mean, how is it going in the state of Washington? And even if you know anything about Colorado, how's the whole legalization thing? Because it sounds like this is going to be inevitable.
The good news is it's relatively boring. I mean, honestly, that's the best thing I think both sides could have hoped for following the vote. Really, there's been no spike in crime, no spike in use by underage folks, and I think that Colorado kind of rolled out with a bang on January 1st, 2014, with a lot of stores opening. Washington State here really had a kind of a more of a soft opening, where we had a few stores open at first, and now we've got probably about around 100, 120 stores open around the state. But they're pretty quiet. You know, there's not a lot of advertising that's going on. It's a significant industry. I mean, there are millions of dollars coming in, but it's relatively quiet. And I have to say, I'm a parent of two teenagers here, mm-hmm. and I don't come from the marijuana culture, but it hasn't really affected day-to-day life, other than really, we no longer arrest about 12,000 people every year in our state. So from my perspective, it's been a pretty good success so far.
Excellent. Well, that's good to hear. I mean, what does it mean economically for states that are now legalizing it?
It means they're bringing in some fairly significant tax revenue. I think, there's something like $70 million came in last year to Colorado. I just was, one of the keys here is not just bringing in tax money for the state, but to share that money with local municipalities. I was speaking with the mayor of Breckenridge, Colorado, a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about how, his city saw about $600,000 in tax revenue come in last year, and they were able to use that to hire a full-time police officer, to bolster their daycare center, and to also, add resources into their mental health and addiction services there in town. So it does make a real difference. I tell people, it's not going to solve the federal budget deficit, and it's not going to solve the state budget deficit. So taxes are not a great reason to pass legalization. There are better ones, but it does help.
Yeah, no doubt. And so, I mean, let's segue into the credit union industry.
Sure.
I mean, why would a credit union want to become a financial services provider for the industry here? I mean,
it's been really interesting. The credit unions have proven to serve a critical role in this whole legalization process, especially here in Washington State. Basically, national banks, your Chase won't handle any sort of state legal cannabis business. It's just that they're just not interested. It's too small. the payoff for them is too small. The risk is too high for them. Just in, you know, the federal risk is one thing, but also their reputational risk. They're not interested in it at all. Here in Washington, we had a really interesting situation where we had a governor who was, you know, he wasn't for it, but he, once the people passed legalization, he said, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it the right way. We're going to really regulate it well. And he had a fellow named Scott Jarvis, who was the director of financial institutions, the state regulatory agency. And Scott really went to work to try to, you know, talk with the NCUA and FDIC and figure out, is there a way that, that our institutions can legally do this? And he worked for 2 years, and he finally basically came to agreements with those federal agencies and found a way to allow state chartered credit unions to work with state licensed marijuana businesses. Yeah. Colorado's a different, kind of a different situation. There are a few who are working very quietly with state licensed businesses there. But in Washington, we've got about a dozen state chartered credit unions and banks that are working with, we call them 502 businesses, because that was the initiative, 502. Mm-hmm. You know, Solal Credit Union in Seattle has been one of the most public about the work that they're doing. And they really see it, I think they see it as a public service. It's a service that really helps in terms of public safety. You know, if nobody banks these businesses, you have people walking around with, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in cash.
I can imagine.
trying to you know, pay their vendors and pay their employees, and it's a real problem. You know, culture matters. Solal Credit Union is the old group health credit union in Seattle, and so they're familiar with medical marijuana. They have a certain comfort level with what's going on there. You know, credit unions that may be based in, say, the military or that sort of thing probably aren't going to be as comfortable thinking about this and taking that step.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's still this, I mean, even though it's beginning to be legitimatized all throughout the country and obviously in Colorado and Washington, but there's still this social stigma with most anything that deals with the cannabis industry.
Right. I mean,
can financial institutions like credit unions in this case, can they kind of help give it some credibility? And
again, they can. And you know, one of the ways that some are doing so are they're looking for, I mean, obviously they're doing incredible amount of vetting and due diligence and just, you know, and thinking about opening. I mean, we're talking about just opening bank checking accounts.
Right.
You know, these are not nobody's loaning money yet, but these are just opening checking accounts.
Yeah.
And one of the ways they're sort of dipping a toe in is looking for clients with whom they already have an established relationship in another business. In other words, there's one business in town. A woman started up a business years ago called Cupcake Royale. Sells cupcakes, little shops. They're great, very successful.
Uh-huh.
She's also now started another business, completely separate, but she also is the head of it, that sells marijuana-infused edibles, and she's licensed with the state. And so that's the kind of customer I think that credit unions are looking for in terms of their initial step into this area. Somebody that they know, who's established, and can be a sort of transition figure for them to work with, and so they put a little less of their, you know, their reputation at risk when they're working with those folks.
Yeah, that kind of, that brings to mind. I mean, I think that's the type of business that nobody really thinks about when they think about marijuana or the cannabis industry. They think about some kind of dark.
Right.
Lonely place, like a little head shop or whatever they're called. I mean, that type of stuff.
Yeah,
and they're like, no, don't go there.
Yeah, and you know, I tell people, you know, experience makes a big difference. You know, some of the shops or a number of the shops that have opened here in Washington State are really nice shops. They're sort of like art galleries. A couple of them I compare to the Anthropologies, you know, the shop that I think of. It's as if Anthropology opened up a marijuana store, you know, a little boutique or something like that. They're really nicely designed. And that's the sort of thing that, you know, folks in the credit union industry are looking for. They they need to do due diligence on the ground, go to the store, meet the people, see what's going on, see who the customers are. This sort of thing, and that takes a lot of effort. The accounts that are open have high fees, but even so, you know, in talking with the people in the credit union industry here in Washington State, those fees do not really yet cover you know, the effort that they put into it. I think they think of it as, you know, being part of this experiment that's going on in Washington State, and so far it's working well. Yeah. But it's a change in history, and some folks in this industry are you know, interested in taking part and playing their part in really doing it right, doing mm-hmm. it the right way, and making sure all the rules are followed.
Exactly. And there's a credit union in Colorado that most of us, if not all of us, know about, called the Fourth Corner
sure.
Credit Union, and they're having a bear of a time launching and, you know, dealing with the
right.
NCUA and
right.
other issues, especially with compliance and insurance. And we've had them on the show, and they've, you know, told us in detail what's going on, and we'll certainly refer folks to that interview in the show notes here. But do you have any advice for these folks as far, I mean, they're persevering, that's for sure, but I mean...
Yeah, you know, and I do hope they persevere, because there are a lot of issues that, you know, their application brings up that just, I think, pushes us in the right direction, just in terms of having a conversation about, you know, the legitimacy of banking these businesses.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that was interesting to me in talking with a lot of people who are involved in the Washington State credit unions and those folks banking 502 businesses was there is a lot of concern and careful watching of how much of their overall business is tied up in 502 businesses. In other words, some credit unions are keeping a sharp eye on, okay, we don't want to go beyond a certain percentage of our business being involved in this, just because of, you know, of risk, of just reputational mm-hmm. risk, and, you know, of state federal laws clashing that risk. So one of the ways that they're setting this up is saying, okay, we're gonna do business with 502 shops or growers, but we're going to kind of limit that right now
mm-hmm.
and limit our exposure. And so one of the things that Fourth Corner, I think, has to overcome is this idea that if they're opening up with you know, and this is their affinity group, they're all exposure, right? It's
oh,
not
yeah.
just like, you know, 3% of their business.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, 95% of their
yeah.
business. And that can be a tough part of the equation to overcome, I think,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, they definitely have a tough road to haul, but, you know, again,
yeah.
persevering and yeah, we'll keep an eye on and see what happens there. All right, let's get to something a bit more positive for you here. Weed the People, your book. Tell us about it.
it's a kind of a chronicle of the two states, Washington and Colorado, and looking at how, you know, just asking big questions like why in the world were these laws passed
mm-hmm.
now? How is it changing not just the laws and the you know, the legal structures, but I'm also interested in how it's changing day-to-day life, how it's changing, you know, our social mores and the ways we interact and try to figure out what's the appropriate way, you know, to use or not use this substance that, as you say, has been in the shadows for, you know, now more than 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a look both at the emerging legal marijuana industry, but it's also a look at how, you know, my neighbors, my friends, my peers, you know, my peer parents and their kids are handling this. One of the most interesting parts of the book, and sort of a running theme throughout it, is here I am, I'm you know, in my late 40s, I'm a middle-aged guy and with two teenagers. All of a sudden, I'm the sort of canary in the coal mine in a legal marijuana state. How do I handle it with my kids? Because
yeah.
I have to. They know I'm writing a book about it.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of a forced to be a pioneer in terms of having those conversations with my kids, with my wife, and talking about how we're going to handle it and talk with our kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I talk about the book and go to speak to groups, that's one of the first questions always is, you know, how did you talk with your kids about it? And I say, you know, mainly I wanted to get a lot of information, you know, and be able to come to them and say, look, not only am I bringing you actual facts, I literally wrote the book on this subject. So I want to talk to you about it in terms of, you know, what the scientific research says about
yeah.
marijuana, its effect on the developing brain. Here's
mm-hmm.
what your brain's doing right now. Here's why it's, you know, not a good idea for you to use this now. If you're interested and want to use it legally,
right.
A, you've got to be over 21
yeah.
or you're going to get arrested.
Exactly.
It's illegal. But you know, think of, it's not just an arbitrary age. It's an age at which the brain is finally kind of finishing up the wiring that it needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pumping it full of these cannabinoids is not helping that the wiring of the brain. That's a real reason to consider waiting.
I think that's a great viewpoint, and it's good to look at this stuff from an objective viewpoint and from a scientific viewpoint rather than an emotional one.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, no matter which I guess aisle you stand on, whether you're for or against, I mean, it's just good to look at this stuff objectively. And so, and it's interesting to see the economic, the finance, the credit union getting in the midst of it. So it's just a really interesting time.
They have a unique role because, you know, because they're working within a single state and they, you know, there's no interstate commerce issues.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So they do have this sort of unique niche, and it's funny. It's like, I mean, it's not dissimilar to the place I found myself as a, I realized early on, it's like, look, I'm a science writer. My whole career is built on looking at evidence and kind of following the evidence and seeing where it takes me.
Yeah.
And I really don't have a dog in the hunt. Like, you know, pot's not my thing. I hadn't tried it since college. If it disappeared tomorrow, it really wouldn't make a difference in my life. So I have this sort of strange, objective place that from which I can talk with folks.
Oh,
and credit unions also have an interesting little niche where they actually have the power to affect things in a positive way right now.
Indeed. Great message to end on, Bruce. Yeah, and where can folks pick up your book? I assume Amazon?
Amazon.com. Most bookstores have it. It's called Weed the People.
Okay.
There's also a sort of version that Time Magazine put out called Marijuana Goes Main Street, and that's on newsstands. It's a Time Inc. special issue.
Oh,
newsstands and at some grocery stores as well.
All right. Well, we'll get that link up there as well. Well, great to have you on the show, Bruce. And this is a topic that certainly isn't going to go away anytime soon. I think it's going to, pardon the pun, I think it's going to grow quite a bit.
Yeah,
so,
I think so.
So great to have you on. Thank you so much. And yeah, let's have you back on when
Terrific.
We get more in the midst of it. So.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
You're very welcome.